We're recording again. We had ourselves a freeze up. Oh, there you go. That's why they wanted to do a update. So I tend to be, I think, skeptical, but not to destroy authority, as I believe the new flavor of skepticism is. But I'm the old flavor of skepticism, which is I ask questions because I want to know the truth. And I'm still not comfortable with a lot of the facts and details and information and reasoning behind why we're doing what we're doing. I just, you know, we don't know who's dying. We hear all these people are dying and, you know, and then they'll say, they got to throw everyone in there. They got to throw in a couple young people. But then, you know, I'll listen to somebody and they'll say, you know, the doctors are saying, well, you know, in New York, it's really hammering the morbidly obese. And they'll say, you know, the average person dying from this is 35% over being overweight or over the maximum body mass index. And then they, you know, they talked about, you know, a youth dies or a girl. And then we find out later she has diabetes, folks. I don't know what exactly is going on. And I, on the last show, I mean, I think I'll go back and key off of that a little bit because I just, you know, I'm not so sure. I'm just not so sure, but I'm like thinking, there's something about this whole thing. And no matter who you talk to, they are saying the same thing. They're like, there's just something not right. There's something not right. I mean, I hear all these people. And then, like I've said, you know, they say something's just not right. So I'm going to turn on the news. I've literally heard this from too many people. So I've been watching the news to try to find out or saying to me, well, you know, I feel like there's something weird going on. But it feels wrong. So I'm going to turn on the news and find out what the truth is or find out if it's true or not. Well, the news is the propaganda device. And I'm going to go back and key off a little bit on what we talked about on what the heck day is today, Monday, with the when I was talking about the Cloward and Piven strategy. We've got, you know, the thing that's really hard right now, folks, is you got, we know where we live and what we live in and what our culture and what our society is, right? The biggest problem is we don't know who to believe, what to believe, right? You just don't know. I mean, you don't know. Are you being lied to? Guaranteed. If it's coming out of the mainstream media, there's a lie there, and a big lie, a Joseph Goebbels, you know, tell a lie long enough thing. Over-exaggeration. I mentioned the fact that a bunch of the numbers are coming out way different than what they told us. The actual death toll in Italy is one they're coming down, way down. They're down to 1/10 of what was reported out of Italy is phony. And then the other night, I was listening to the news or watching it, and an expert, medical expert came on and said 85% of people who get this disease, coronavirus, COVID-19, are asymptomatic. So then I hit the web, typed it in, boom, found a couple of the brand new research-based journal article-based, you know, research articles or whatever, and, you know, verified, yeah, okay, that's what they're coming up with. And it was based on statistics gathered from the Chinese experience and from even like Italy and other places. And then I showed my wife, and because she's, you know, concerned a little bit. And the next day, all those articles were scrubbed. You may recall back when Glenn Beck was on the air on Fox News, he had his own show. And he would warn people, hey, I'm going to tell you to go to a website, and he says download it because they're going to scrub it. The CEO of Google went to the White House over 400 times when Obama was there. And, I mean, was it just because they were great friends? I don't think so. I think it was obviously because they were working together to scrub. And I'll bet you the guy was like, hey, what about this? What about that? You know, and they're probably going through doing something. They're working something out because I would see constant changes. And now you got to realize, folks, I don't care who you are or what you're doing. I mean, in our business, if you people come in with these preconceived notions and ideas and they've done, quote, research online and to invest, there is no research left. It is all pay to play. It used to be, I literally remember when I could do an organic search on Google and it would say 256,000, you know, whatever, returned responses or whatever it called it. And now it's just repetition of the same ads. And then, of course, you go into someone's website that's paying for the ad. Why are they paying? Oh, because they have an agenda. They, you know, people sell stuff. That's okay. It's America. Great. But just understand bias. Understand that there is no organic search. There's nothing that I'm aware of for the most part. No, there's not. Even if you get into all these different opinions on various things, George Soros, at least a few years ago, was managing and operating over 400 news apparent websites that were really political activist sites. Every morning, I mean, he had college kids managing and operating these sites from wherever they were, a lot all over. And he would feed his narrative or his agenda. This is a proven, knowledgeable, non-debated fact, okay? He had over 400 of these sites, and he'd pump out his narrative every morning to these groups, and then they would load them on the site, and they would load articles. And you, when you go look up something, start to notice when you start to ask certain information, you will get at the top of Google, you'll get these different responses. And it looks like they cut and paste or copied from a website and put it up there as a factual piece of data or information, which, you know, it seems neat. Realize, number one, all those little answer boxes at the top of Google are 100% derived from the highest paying opinion site, from the highest paying advertisers. They clip stuff out like that based on opinion. So, you know, if they write it up, it looks good, they grab it and they slap it. You'll also notice with the George Soros sites, and I used to have names for a bunch of them, and they were weird, but that you'll see this repetition. When you see an article on something that's maybe not that cut and dry and all the verbiage is the same and you get it on 8 different sites, what do people do? Well, must be true. But in reality, well, what's the truth? It's like even police officers know, folks, when you ask somebody about an accident or you talk to witnesses who've seen an accident, their stories don't align. Everyone has their own perception. When you go read site after site after site that appears to be non-related, and they have an absolute 100% symbiosis in their stories, you should be skeptical. That's not a normal human activity. Now, because you're going to ask yourself, okay, fine, so they copied it from somewhere else. Isn't that plagiarism? I mean, really? Where do they get it right? If the article doesn't say it's from the AP, the Associated Press, and they're not members of the AP, how do they copy it and download it? You know, so I'm just, you know, that's a bit much on that, but I want you to understand it is so important that you understand the information that you're being fed. You know, and the Bible says, I shall put no worthless thing before my eyes. And you have to be so careful. And if you do, you got to know. You just have to know when you're being fed a line or an agenda. Just be wise like that. That's all I'm trying to create here. I love wisdom, you know that. And I want my people, my listeners, our friends to be wise. Be wise and be careful. I don't know where this is going. I had this, something popped up on my internet here that says it's the event 201 scenario. Apparently this is the scenario they've run, you know, the World Economic Forum, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins University, it says it's the event 201 simulates an outbreak of a novel zoonotic coronavirus transmitted from bats to pigs to people that eventually becomes efficiently transmissible from person to person, leading to a severe pandemic. Well, isn't that weird. They ran a scenario, an event scenario, on the exact, this was on, the Event 201 pandemic exercise was conducted on October 18th, 2019. By the way, do you know who has the, quote, patent on the genetic sequencing of the coronavirus? His name is Bill Gates, right? So we've talked about that. Isn't that ironic that he would have the patent on the genetic sequencing of the coronavirus, which is crazy. And then he would do a pandemic event where they actually they run a scenario, which is starting to be more popular. There was one at like Sandy Hook right before the shooting with extensive similarities, where they even had actors who were involved in the production. You know, it's a practice thing. They hire these companies supposedly that are there as actors to completely play the real situation out, so that first responders and emergency responders, you know, they're it's feeling real. They're getting real time practice. Well, there was a couple that turned out not to be a couple that were at Sandy Hook on TV that were also at the practice event, and they found them on they you know, addressed them and asked names on TV. And when they figured out what was going on, they found them on Facebook, and they had no relation to each other. It was very interesting. There was a lot of other stuff. So these pandemic scenarios, these role plays on a high scale, this is not uncommon. This is the new thing. Can you imagine how brainwashed you become doing that? You lived it. You're there. It says, according to this, the next severe pandemic will not only cause great illness and loss of life, but will also trigger major cascading economic and societal consequences that could contribute greatly to global impact and suffering. This is October again. This is a precursor to it. This is basically the lead-up announcement of it. The Event 201 pandemic exercise, to be conducted on October 18, 2019, or in this case, which was conducted October 18, 2019, vividly demonstrated a number of these important gaps in pandemic preparedness, as well as some of the elements of the solutions between the public and private sectors that will be needed to fill them. The Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, World Economic Forum, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation jointly propose these recommendations. Guess what? I'm clicking on it. They have let's see if I can keep this simplistic. So they have a call to action. The next severe pandemic will not only cause great illness and loss of life, major cascading economic and societal consequences, and on and on. Efforts to prevent such and of course it says great global impact and suffering. Efforts to prevent such consequences or respond to them as they unfold will require unprecedented levels of collaboration between governments, international organizations, and the private sector. I mean, have you seen GM and MyPillow company are making masks and ventilators? And yeah, we're having slight collaboration. People have come to me and said, what do you think? And, you know, Trump said nationalize this and nationalize that. And you know what that means? Yeah, I know what that means. If there's a true threat to the nation, there's a time and a place for it. A very short time and a very unique pinpoint place. The biggest issue is everything that we're imposing, we're not putting a sunset or moratorium clause on. So we're opening up a can of worms with government authority, stepping on private rights. And I'm a big, you know, proponent of civil rights. And I believe, as I've said before, where Franklin said, he who is willing to sacrifice liberty for security deserves neither liberty nor security. The greatest value we have as an American, as a person, as a Christian, as a human being created by God is our freedom and our liberty. And I remember, you know, they were doing this thing in another case a couple years back, I don't remember what it was, where they were trying to say that they could limit mobility. The Supreme Court said, absolutely not. Mobility is 100% the encompassing concept of your civil liberties. When they limit your mobility, you've lost your civil liberties. Think about jail. I mean, granted, you lost it. You lost it. You know, whether it's all, I mean, obviously it is what it is and that's that. But I mean, you lose it. You lose mobility, you lose it. You go become a prisoner of war or you know, they were talking here last week about creating what they called Corona Recovery Centers or something like this. You know what that is? That's a nice name for a concentration camp. When they start to grab people. And then the World Health Organization, folks, the guy came out, this was, what, 2 days ago or yesterday? And he said, quote, that he's proposing that they begin to go into homes where they find out the parents have coronavirus or the mom or the dad, and to capture, seize, confiscate the kids, whatever you want to use. He used some other word, but that's what he said. To take the children and keep them at a safe place away from the parents, to take the children away from the parents without their will, without their agreement or cooperation. Man, have you hit Big Brother 1984, the Soviet Union of America, the USSA? That's over the top. And some people went crazy, but I'll be honest, Trump's not. He's scared of this thing. He's on the inside. Now think, if 85% of the people are asymptomatic, A, meaning without, as in amoral, meaning you have no morals. There's, you know, morality, immorality, and amorality. There's symptoms. I guess there's no M symptoms. No, it's without symptoms. 85%. And yet if you have it and you go get a test, they're going to potentially take your children. Sure, I'm an alarmist and all this. Folks, things are going so fast right now. I am telling you, I really don't think I'm an alarmist. I think I may be an alarm, but I think we need to wake up and understand it. So this event 201 pandemic exercise conducted on October 18th, 2019. I'm trying to see what else I got up here. There's so much information. It's like you're so used to reality TV, this probably doesn't even strike you as funny. Bill Gates does this pandemic exercise of the exact coronavirus. He shows exactly what it's going to do to the globe. Then he and Obama, oh, by the way, he's funded the lab. He owns the lab. He owns the right to coronavirus. And, oh, by the way, like I said, Monday, oh, he's coming out with a vaccine. Wait, I thought it took 12 to 16 months or 12 to 18 months to get that done. But he's coming out with a vaccine. Well, gee, you know, one thing I'll tell you, people with money and history and brains can do a lot of things with large amounts of money. Bill Gates has been what I call a deca billionaire, tens of billions of dollars, longer than any human being who's lived. Probably longer than any human being ever, because no one's had that much money before. I mean, inflation adjusted, maybe, yeah, but you know. He's on to something. He's on to, and he got Obama on his side. And you notice Obama's been awfully quiet, which has kind of made me wonder. For a while, I was a little bit nervous about it. You know, I was like, what is going on with these guys? I knew there was something up. Well, sure, he's behind it. He does that pandemic video with Bill Gates, or docuseries, as they call it. He does that thing, and then he comes out Well, he does more damage to try to destroy his candidate than, or the candidate he opposes, than could ever be done by him speaking. And he may, when the election comes, you watch, he'll be speaking too. And he's getting a $3.5 million per year stipend retainer from Gates, or from Soros, sorry. George Soros, who's Captain Evil, who controls the world in a crazy, crazy way. So let me get back to this here. So, you know, when we let's buzz through some of this. So remember a week or two ago, and I think recently I might have touched on again, Bill Gates and Barack Obama released the docuseries on Netflix called Pandemic in December. You know, it pushed the need for the Gates Foundation to receive special funding to carry on virus research. Now, folks, I want you to know I do everything I can to make this stuff fact. I've talked to people who've run across some of these articles and stuff, and they're like, well, I just stopped reading it. A friend of mine was like, I just stopped reading it because I just couldn't believe it was true. Well, the truth is his wife, and that is probably terrified, and he doesn't want to be bringing this rubbish home. He doesn't want it slipping out of his mouth. I've noticed that's an interesting commonality between guys who are who have to play along, and there is the bottom line is I don't know why, but the flaming liberals are just hysterical about this stuff. They're just irate, nuts, terrified. So there's your thing. You got socialists, liberal socialists are the ones that are going to be controlled. They're the ones that could raise arms against us. Paranoid, am I? I don't know. But I'm telling you, they jump on board right into lockstep. Then what comes next? You know, they start to isolate you crazy right-wing radical Christians. All of a sudden, you start to see some kind of terrorist activity. Oh, look at that. It's a conservative Christian radical right-wing group. Oh, no, they're the enemies of society. We're all trying to be safe and protect ourselves. In these radical alt-right religious fanatics are out there trying to destroy our country. Is it not crazy? They act like Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, is this radical alt-right nut job. He is the most godly, probably, politician in D.C. He was the most godly governor when Trump chose him. And when people are worried about Trump's spirituality and stuff, you think Obama would have chosen Pence? Me neither. Bill Gates funded the Wuhan lab in China, released the Wuhan virus. Now he's already, right away, when this happened, he was selling test kits. No coincidence, I don't think. China's Academy of Sciences, I talked, you know, they gave him the biggest honor. The Wuhan virus was originally developed at the University of North Carolina by NIH grants and approved by Obama to study the O3 SARS coronavirus in a lab. NIH scientists developed a man-made version using bat DNA, which is what the communists unleashed. The NIH defunded this dangerous University of North Carolina research because of the proven human-to-human transmission. So the communist Chinese scientists left UNC, took their work to the newly built, Bill Gates-funded Wuhan lab in 2017. Fact. So then the head of the Harvard Chemistry and Biology Department, with ties to Gates and Epstein, which is interesting, was arrested for accepting bribes by the communists. The Perbright Institute, funded by Bill Gates, owns the patent on coronavirus genetic sequencing, and they did simulation testing on the global pandemic in 2019, which we were just reading about. First case of Wuhan was reported in China November 17th. The communists did not inform the CDC, which is apparently very common communication, until January 11th. The World Health Organization and Communist China said it wasn't spread by humans until January 21st to cover it up. You know, this stuff was backed by the World Health Organization. I mean, this stuff was absolute complete and total cover-up. The communication is completely common between these organizations. There's so much more to this, folks. Now, granted, you might say, you know what, Kevin, who cares? You know what? You got this bad virus out there. I don't care where it came from. Or you might be like, you know, I was reading an article the other day to refute this very well-documented, factual, evidentiary argument. It's not even an argument. It's a thesis. It's a layout of exactly what's going on. To contradict it, Fox News, yeah, they're part of the establishment too. At least on their site, someone downloaded and sent me this crazy article that in a nutshell said, man could not have done this because the evolution's so much smarter than us. We could never even think to do this, but evolution could. And that's what this is. This is just natural evolution. Right. None of us have ever seen evolution. Oh, yeah. We see a new virus come and a new virus here and there. I don't know what's going on, but we've never seen a mutate, as they say. We've never seen a mutate before our eyes. You know, there's macro evolution, as they call it, or micro, depending on your perspective. Macro means micro. But isn't that weird? And, you know, there's within our species, we, you know, if short people, you know, drink alcohol all day and eat candy and they breed over generations, you're going to have a new species. You're going to have really short, unhealthy people. That's called microevolution. That can happen, but I don't know what viruses do to ruin their diet. Maybe some of those obese people, I don't know. says that, so we got that. So the I can get into how the Wuhan virus spreads. That's all genetically modified stuff. So Bill Gates and Barack Obama docuseries marketed the need for a global universal vaccine to replace all other flu vaccines. A global universal vaccine to replace all other flu vaccines. Are you kidding me? Then, you know, then there's the whole concept. They're talking about implanting a nano microchip into this vaccine to prove that you've taken it so you can buy or sell. If you go to Revelation where it talks about the mark of the beast, it says, without this mark, you cannot buy or sell. But when you go to the actual Greek, it means participate in the marketplace. That is exactly what both of the words mean. And isn't this exactly what we would be looking at? You know, we have police officers becoming highly overzealous, arresting a man playing sports with two of his children in a massive park behind his house with no one else there. There's a municipal ordinance in place that says you can have up to four people within a certain period of distance and all this. They didn't care. They arrested him. They're losing it. Police state. These are not laws. These are not laws. When the governor says, hey, stay at home, you have a right to risk your health. You have a right to take your own life. And I know that they've, you know, there's a lot of things where they're like, well, if you're not mentally stable, we can restrain you and all this stuff. Right. To protect yourself and others and all that. This is not that. This is not people in an unsound mind. This is the execution and implication or implementation of acts that are not law. They are not executable law. It's quite interesting. The police officers take an oath to the Constitution. Now, granted, they're going to buy into it. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Police officers have a lot of influence. You know, they can influence you to go, but, you know, I mean, what do you do? Approach a guy, hey, you got to go home. Well, wait, man, we're following the law. We, you know, we're here with my kids, and I thought you could have four. Well, that's when the police officers go, well, you know what? Maybe you're right. Let me check. Not, I got to be right. I got to be right. I got to be right. And trust me, I love police officers. I do not mean to insult them. it's an expression of where we're at right now. We're afraid. We should not be running our society into the ground out of fear. And you're saying, okay, Kevin, what are we going to do? Well, we'll see, because we're going there anyway. You got two choices: utter, complete, and total bankruptcy globally, which we're already probably there. And ultimately, the pandemic's going to keep rolling. What, are we all going to hide? I mean, we can't. You know, 85% of people, according to good studies, say they're asymptomatic. I totally believe it, because people who are asymptomatic never know they had it. They never even get tested. So the testing's not even getting into the hole. They were coming out with 50, 67, 75% are not manifesting or asymptomatic. I mean, there's something about this stuff, folks. Who knows? They don't even give statistics on who's passing. You know, their average age is this. The body weight is this. They had these, you know, pre-occurring complications or, you know, pre-existing issues or whatever it is. They don't tell you any of this. So Bill Gates and Obama asked, pushed, manipulated, persuaded, propagandized for a global universal vaccine to replace all other vaccines in their docuseries. And then we go into the 17,000 Americans in the U.S. died of the H1N1 flu that came from Mexico under Obama. Most were children. Because he waited 6 months to do anything, he depleted America's critical medical supplies in 2009 and never restocked. The media said nothing about the 61 million who were infected by the H1N1 crisis. But now they're creating a huge panic for Trump around U.S. deaths from Wuhan. The virus, you know, which is put out to destroy our economy before the election. They really did try to do the same thing with SARS. I'm just kind of recapping what I've already gone over in the past. Thousands and thousands of people have died from the flu, the common flu this year. I don't have the statistics, but it's greater than the coronavirus. And as they say, a bad flu season is 80,000 dead. And at that time, globally, we had 18,000. I think we're like at 25 or maybe 30 this year from the flu. And 100 were dead from the coronavirus. So basically, in other words, when some of these statistics were put down, whatever. The flu has already taken, you know, 20,000 people. And at the time, there was 100 dead in the U.S. from corona. Now we're getting a death toll because New York's racking it up. They're really racking it up. But they're saying a lot of it has to do with health. So what I have a problem with is the hype, fear, panic, worry, being led like sheep. It's like when the Indians used to chase the herds of buffalo. They'd all run right off the cliff and die right after the next one. Sheep are known to do the same thing. Didn't Jesus refer to us as sheep? Don't we behave that way a little bit? A lot? So it's the panic and the fact that businesses are getting destroyed. People's lives are being upended, not by the virus, but by the panic. It's self-imposed, self-inflicted destruction. You know, I'm always that guy, I guess, that's out on the fringe seeing things from a different perspective. We cannot be motivated by fear. The panic has to stop. And the press really needs to be held accountable. They're losing their cookies. They're nuts. They're making us crazy. They want the ratings. They're on the TV screaming. It's intense. And if you had someone talking to you in front of you like newscasters talk, you'd say, get out of my house, man. You're way out of control. But with that piece of glass between you and them and the distance, you're okay with it. It's a human thing. I don't know why. It says, Communist China stole a patent from a U.S. company that manufactured a treatment right after they announced the virus to the world. The World Health Organization helped. Interesting. I just clicked on it. It's on MarketWatch. China scientists want to patent Gilead drug to treat coronavirus patients. So the Chinese, basically, they're the greatest violators of intellectual property, trust me. Beijing, and it's an article I'm not going to get into, but it's the government-run Wuhan Institute of Virology, funded by Bill Gates, said this week that it applied for the patent in January along with a military laboratory. You know, however, this U.S.-based company already claiming to have applied for the patent is being overridden by the patent, the world patent and trademark office, and the World Health Organization. Because, of course, China's smarter and better. And the World Health Organization went in and they covered up for China. They are terrible. These organizations like the UN, folks, they're so anti-America and so anti-Trump. So is our left-wing socialist news. It says, granting its own scientists a patent might give the Chinese government leverage in negotiations over paying for the drug. Da, 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 da. Not an article that I have time to really get into. There's so much crazy stuff here. The cruise, you know, we had it on the Princess cruise ship. 19 out of 21 who tested positive were the crew members. So the crew members were the ones that were carriers and infecting the passengers. Who put them there? Who put the coronavirus in them? Where'd they get it? Why'd they all get it? The virus started in South Korea. We go through all that. World Health Organization, I could go through all that. And it's just, you know, they've got real videos of Chinese people yelling, it's all fake, into the film. And it's more dangerous than the common flu. But it's been engineered for healthy people, but has been engineered, or it's no more dangerous than the common flu for healthy people, but it's been engineered to be highly infectious and impact the elderly and very sick, not just elderly, but people with major pre-existing. It's very bizarre that way. And we know Bill Gates did the, we gotta vaccinate everybody so we can reduce the world population. It just isn't. I mean, is that just a set of absolutely wild coincidences? Bill Gates has the patent on the thing. He funds the lab that creates it. He funds the lab that leaks it. And right before they leak it, he does drills, essentially. Events, this 201, he calls it event 201, of this exact scenario. No, thanks. I don't buy it. Call me skeptical. So here's what they say, a call to action. The Event 201 pandemic exercise conducted on October 19 vividly demonstrated a number of these important gaps in pandemic preparedness, as well as some of the elements of the solutions between the public and private sectors that will be needed to fill them. The Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, World Economic Forum, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation jointly proposed the following. Make paragraphs, but I'll just read the headers. Number one, governments, international organizations, and businesses should plan now for how essential corporate capabilities will be utilized during a large-scale pandemic. And then it goes on and it tells about this. Number two, industry, national governments, and international organizations should work together to enhance internationally held stockpiles of medical countermeasures, MCMs, you knew that, to enable rapid and equitable distribution during a severe pandemic. Talked about the Cloward and Piven strategy last time. It's how you take over. This is it. Think of the control. What else would unite the world like this? Fear. Countries, number three, countries, international organizations, and global transportation companies should work together to maintain travel and trade, to maintain, in other words, control or prohibit, travel and trade during severe pandemics. Now, is this a severe pandemic or is this a severe panic attack? Travel and trade are essential to the global economy as well to the national and even local economies, and they should be maintained by the government control. Governments should provide, this number four, more resources and support for the development and surge of manufacturing vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics that will be needed during a severe pandemic. In other words, the government has got to become, you know, the profiteer of science. They have got to create, control, distribute, and mandate vaccinations. That's when it gets scary, scary, folks. We are now stepping within our own personal body where they're telling you what you have to do, how you have to do it. And, oh, by the way, there's consequences. And you will be ostracized if you don't play along. You don't take the shot. You don't get the little nano chips, or you can't participate in the marketplace. oh, sure, at first you can go on Amazon and do this and that. There's going to be a lot of things you can't have. But then all of a sudden, they're going to blackball us, or those who choose not to take this vaccine. And all of a sudden, you're going to get public and private corporate ostracization, where they are going to want proof that you've got it, or they just won't deal with it. Because after all, you could get a package and maybe send it back or do whatever. You could have some kind of biohazard, bioterrorism, who knows? It says, number five, global businesses. This is Bill Gates's pandemic event, education. What do we call this? Let's see what he's, I should be saying. It says that there. This is what they propose for this big pandemic that they knew was coming. What great foresight. Number five was global business should recognize the economic burden of pandemics and fight for stronger preparedness. So we all got to be loaded up, paranoid, ready to go for the big contagion. We've got people that watch movies about zombies and all this stuff. There's like 37% of kids under the age of 28 or something believe it's possible. You know, that's basically, they get a disease, it kills you, and you come back to life and you're a dead live person and you can go around and kill people and then they kill you. And, you know, I mean, these movies are all over. This is doing something to our heads. Number six, international organizations should prioritize reducing economic impacts of epidemics and pandemics. Well, how do you reduce, you know, the economic impacts? Well, it's preparedness. You've got to have everybody, what, separated? We've got all this social media and internet. Now you're going to have more and more people are going to be isolated and in preparation for this, and companies are going to have this backup system to go into, you know, pandemic mode. Number seven, governments and private sector should assign a greater priority to developing methods to, here we go, to combat mis and disinformation prior to the next pandemic response. Whoa. So freedom of speech goes out the window. Who determines what's mis- and disinformation? Just like the left wing that doesn't want to have Trump's coronavirus news or press conferences daily. Because they don't want you to see. And we just fall right, they don't want you to see what he's really like. We fall right into lockstep. You know, we've got, I mean, China did this crazy lockdown. The death rate is very questionable. As a, you know, I've got all these statistics about percentages, and I think I'll pass on that too. I think it's basically, we'll just go back and I'll finish up kind of what I was talking about with the Cloward and Piven thing. So I ended the show on Monday covering, you know, the Cloward and Piven strategy, which was the political strategy and, you know, political, economic, whatever you want to call it, socialist, communist coup takeover strategy outlined in 1966 by the American sociologist Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven, Cloward and Piven. They said that overloading the U.S. public welfare system in order to precipitate a crisis would lead to a replacement of the welfare system with a national system of a guaranteed annual income and thus end to poverty. Stupid. I mean, how you can't create wealth out of nothing like the Federal Reserve does. The problem is the Federal Reserve depletes your wealth. They suck it out of you. I mean, if you don't believe me, you got Keynes, who said, you know, that his system was essentially by a means the government may secretly and unobserved confiscate the wealth of the people. You know, and he goes on, not one man in a million will detect the theft. That's a quote from the guy who created our economic system. So it is designed in full, in whole, to deplete your wealth, to suck the gift, the blessing, the talents that God gave out of you. That's socialism. It's man. God pumps you up. God tells us to pump each other up, to edify, to build up, to have servanthood leadership. Socialism is to steal and to take from the other, not to encourage and prop up and lift up. It's exactly the opposite. of what's right. You know? So we're back in that place. The healthcare, so what I was basically saying is you got the Cloward and Piven strategy that says it's going to overload the welfare system and somehow create this universal income and no more poverty, which, I mean, folks, if you understand wealth and value and income, it just is completely wow. You know, that's one of those specious arguments. It's irrelevant. It's not true. It's tangential. It takes you over and go, that makes a lot of sense. Well, the whole article is full of all these truths and that makes sense. Well, the deduction there is not even logical. It's not even sensible. But this is stuff they read. And it's stuff that Obama really bought into. You know, Obama was a Marxist. He loved Cloward and Piven and Saul Alinsky, and he said so. So what they said with the Cloward and Piven strategy, they wanted a crisis that would lead to a replacement of the welfare system and an end to poverty. And so they had these categories that they laid out, Cloward and Piven, that needed to be attacked and taken over. I discussed this Monday. Healthcare. To control the healthcare and you control the people. I want you to really think about that. That's the number one. I mean, you know, man gets more intelligent as time goes on. The information age makes it worse. I think it's fair to say the devil gets smarter too because he watches us behave for thousands of years and he learns how to get at us. It says, Cloward and Piven, if you increase the poverty level as high as possible, poor people are easier to control and won't fight back if you're providing everything for them to live. Well, that's kind of what I was just saying about the socialist-minded people. They want handouts more than anything, and they don't want to lose it. That's why they vote left. They don't care about the next guy. That's why we used to have laws on voting. You couldn't vote on property rights unless you own property. You know, they changed all that because now you got welfare recipients voting on your property tax. Is that right? No, because the property owners end up being a minority. It's not good. So debt, they say, Cloward and Piven, increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you can increase taxes, which will produce more poverty. And like I said last show, hey, wait, you've got radical left-wing socialists here admitting that taxes lead to poverty? Interesting how the truth pops out when it's convenient, right? Gun control, of course, remove the ability to defend yourself from the government or for the citizens to defend themselves from the government. Then you can easily create a police state. This is what they're saying. I'm reading their words, not mine. Obama adhered to this. He subscribed to this more than anything else. Cloward and Piven were his heroes. I understand he did a lot of doctoral research on them as a law professor, whatever he was. Welfare says take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Education, take control of what people read and listen to. And also take control of what children learn in school. Religion, remove the belief in God from the government and school. Separation of church and state. Skewed, improper application of a clause from a Thomas Jefferson letter to a Baptist minister assuring him the government would never stick its nose in his right to preach and share the gospel. That's where they came, separation of church and state. The Constitution is clear. Congress shall make no law, you know, prohibiting people from a free exercise of religion. Absolute. That's with freedom of speech and everything else. And, of course, freedom of what has now become the Marxist propaganda machine. And they have massive leeway. Luckily, there's good organizations still out there. So we remove God from the schools and the government. Then we do the class warfare thing, the 1%, 2%, et cetera. 2%. The 1% and the rest, you know. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor, which will cause more discontent, and it'll be easier to take and tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. Well, they create divisions. You know how many divisions we came out of the Obama administration with? I mean, what was it? You know, you had colors. Remember he kept calling it tribalism? Do you remember that? This is some sociology theory. It's tribal. We're just tribal. We tend to really attract with our core tribe, and that's who we are. And so we have warfare. We have tribal warfare. It's our primal instincts that we don't like people of color, and we don't like people that don't believe the way we believe, and we don't like people who don't believe in God, and we men must not like women, and you know, you got children against adults, and he just had to segregate it every way he could, knowing, as Christ said, a house divided will fall. The problem is that scares me, but it doesn't them. They see it as an opportunity. It's great. We can finally implement. What are you thinking? You know, we've got all these countries that are just, they're destitute. They're not great. They're great because of us. China's great because of us. India's great in its own way because of us. Europe's great because of us. They need to be careful what they're wishing for. You take America down. Well, really, what are they doing? Take Trump down. Why? We got to get some whack job socialist in there. You notice Obama's never said one good word about Biden. He's going to, when he starts doing campaign speeches, if he does, I have a funny feeling there's a history between those two. And I think he knows the limited intelligence of Biden. I think he knows the problems. I think he knows the guy. I think he knows he's not that bright, but he's just a yes man. He's a placator. There's something about it. He's never said a good thing about him. In fact, his wife really seemed super frustrated when talking, when being asked why they're not supporting him. So we discussed those 8 points to Cloward and Piven to take over society. You want to get health care, increase poverty. Folks, I guarantee you we are destroying the middle class. To increase the debt, personal and public, to unsustainable levels, and then jack those taxes right up. Trump gave us a tax break, didn't even come down to what it was before Obama jacked it up. Didn't come down to the Bush years. They want gun control because you can't defend yourself. That's what makes America strong and secure. Take away the Second Amendment, you might as well just throw it all out. It's happened so many times in history, it's not even funny. Welfare, got to take control of every aspect of everyone's lives. Education, control what people see, read, learn, think. Teach the kids what to think, not how to think. That's the socialistic way, Marxist, communist way. And then class warfare, just create all kinds of division. They're doing it. So we know that we've basically knocked most of those out of the park in one way or another. Both houses of Congress are populated by Democrats and establishment Republicans who support this Cloward and Piven strategy. Knowingly, as enthusiastic, uninformed Democrats or entrenched, uninformed establishment Republicans going along to get along. The Republican platform is nothing near the behavior of the Republican Party. Donald Trump was an absolute curveball to these guys. You know, the deplorables and all this stuff. He was an absolute out of left field, totally outside the establishment, broke the rules, broke the chains, shattered his way in. Really amazing. And he's doing what he's doing. The biggest problem is the pressure is so bad from the socialists, they don't even educate the public. They don't tell us how bad they're destroying our economy. They can't. So Trump spent money like crazy trying to make everybody happy and trying to get his hands around this thing because he wants to keep that economy alive. So now we got the media, Democrats, establishment Republicans, going crazy because Trump is winning. More people are working. More people were off welfare. Wages were rising. Unemployment was going down to historic lows, especially for minorities, folks. Lower than ever. You'll never hear that from the media. For a racist guy, he sure did a great job of supporting minorities. We had a less tax burden. Of course, the big breaks were for C-Corps, but that's his mentality. And everything President Obama wanted to do was following the Cloward and Piven strategy. And Trump was the opposite. Everything that should be low was high, and everything that should be high was low. And winning this crazy, you know, jamming through Obamacare was the huge feather in his cap. And now the system's falling down under its own poor design and execution. The more the American people win through President Trump's agenda, the more volume and screaming on the left increases, right? Because they see the progress and their anti-capitalist agendas falling apart. So we are once again wrapping up. Thanks for tuning in. Folks, if you're, you know, now's a great time. Oh, I ran out of time. No tax penalties on early withdrawals of 401ks and 3 years spread out to pay the actual taxes on it. Consider it. Talk to you soon. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.